everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every single day talking about HR with people that are getting it done. We are out and about at the we're actually doing this show live from the JCPenney headquarters here in Plano, and which is the Dallas area. So this place is pretty cool. First time I've been here, so appreciate them hosting us today at a conference. And I want to get to our guests as quickly as possible. Chris, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Awesome to be here. Thank you for having me.
So why don't you kick it off, introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll kind of roll into our big, huge, gigantic, cutting-edge question.
Yes. The stressful, the one question to answer. My name's Chris Ebler. I am the Senior Manager of Workplace Community and People Branding for Brinker. I represent two of the most amazing casual dining brands out there, which is Chili's Grill & Bar and Maggiano's Little Italy. And my role is really about kind of how we engage team members around every aspect of the team member life cycle. So I touch everything from talent acquisition and employment marketing all the way through orientation and connecting to the business and, you know, how do people get information, learning and development. We focus a lot also on how people contribute and give back. So the ideas of you know, how people feel engaged in their work and more importantly, how do they give back in their local community. We touch a little bit of rewards and recognition and how people hear about the different perks and opportunities to engage in the workplace. And then to a certain extent, we even talk a little bit about how do we make parting ways a more heartfelt experience. So whether it's you making the decision to depart the company or, you know, us making a difficult decision, we still want you, you know, 5 years from now to say that working at Chili's or Maggiano's or Brinker was an amazing experience. So proud to be with you today and happy to represent this great company.
Awesome. Listen, let's start off with what's keeping you up at night these days, or what's top of mind, what's occupying a lot of your brain these days?
Yeah, you know, I thought about that question, and, you know, I could take it so many different ways. I think, you know, but what I came back to and what I continue to keep coming back to just in the work that I do, because it's a rather kind of new idea, the idea that, that, you know, we can actually have a community type of environment inside the workplace. So my dad's like 70, 71, 72 years old, and I think back to the way he kind of came up through the ranks of working in corporate America, and it's just so incredibly different. But so kind of what really keeps me up, and everybody here knows that I am obsessed with this idea, is how do you keep human resources human? You know, I think it's easy to, you know, realize and easy to kind of fall prey to the fact that this is a business. We're all in the business to make money and to satisfy our guests. And yet this idea of engaging people around a common cause, the idea of connecting to people in a way in the workplace that is really a relatively new idea, all things considered. I mean, you know, the days of riding off into the sunset with your gold watch are pretty much over. And I think it's a fascinating idea of how do you keep the workplace human. Culture comes into play, you know, how we interact with one another in the workplace, how do you work hard but play hard, you know, and Brinker and our you know, founder Larry Levine, you know, Norman Brinker, these guys kind of built a company on that idea. And so I get excited about the idea that I can kind of keep that going, that through the work I do, whether it's, you know, kind of how a process can maybe be a little bit more you know, tweaked and adjusted to be a more human process, all the way through to, I jokingly refer to, like, the thickness of a business card can tell you a lot about somebody. So it's, what are those little clues that we send people? How do they interact in the workplace, but also ways that we communicate with them? So, you know, a team member handbook. When I started a few years ago, the team member handbook was black and white. And God love them, it was written by the legal department, and that's just not their forte. And, you know, we said, hey, we think we can do it differently, and what does that look like? So, you know, I'm super proud that we've been able to influence that and create communication pieces, create HR touch points, we call them, that are engaging, that are fun, that kind of reflect the culture. And I think it connects people quicker. They're able to actually be productive quicker. They're able to get into the workplace and feel like they belong quicker. And I think we do I think we do a good job of that. So that's kind of what keeps me up at night. How do you keep HR human?
Yeah, I love the bit at the end of the employee life cycle, you know, the parting of ways, so to speak. And typically companies, we do a terrible job. We get to the end, however we get there, we get to the end, and it's not humane in a lot of ways.
Right.
Give us some more kind of a, because first of all, your approach to that, the fact that you're even thinking about it, is truly unique. How did you come to that decision, and what do you try to actually achieve in that process?
Yeah, so our vice president of People Works, Jennifer Hartley is kind of the poster child, if you will, for, you know, everything we do needs to come with heart and hands, and it's so amazing to see the kind of influence that one person can have. I'm constantly amazed by, you know, whether it's stuff in the workplace or outside of the workplace, I'm constantly amazed, especially in this world of kind of sharing information and sharing experiences and sharing videos and music and all that. I'm so amazed by how one person really, really can make a difference. And she really is kind of the poster child for, you know, first and foremost, let's lead with our heart. And let's not forget that these are people with real lives. These are people that have children. These are people that maybe didn't see this coming, or that have had a difficult journey, a difficult road, and it's just not working. So whether it's them making the decision, or sometimes, unfortunately, yeah, it's us making the decision. But simply put, I mean, if it's not working for you, and if you're disengaged, I mean, we see these numbers all the time of how many disengaged in the American workforce. I mean, it's shocking. I think about, you know, if I wasn't getting up every day excited to come to work, I can't imagine what that would be like. And you know, we make decisions that are obviously business decisions, but a lot of times it's just simply, hey, you know, it's not working for you either. You know, you're not enjoying this. And so what we've talked about here from a PeopleWorks leadership team more recently is, number one, we have to have those conversations with people that are choosing to leave. You know, where are you at? Where's your head at? You know, and get a kind of a third party to take a look at it, somebody that maybe didn't work with them day in and day out, to ask those questions. You know, why? What's happening? What happened? And what could we improve on? You know, we have a cultural belief that feedback is priceless, and we learn and see more through others' feedback. And it's become kind of a staple of the way we run the business. And it's, you know, we learn so much from people that have decided to leave. And, you know, sometimes we kick ourselves in the butt and we say, God, we could have saved that. You know, we didn't have to lose that person. You know, what could we do differently next time to make sure that we don't lose another great person? So we're doing tons of exit interviews. We're really putting a process around making sure that, you know, everybody does get the phone call and that they've got the opportunity to give us some feedback. Sometimes it's electronic, but more often than not, it's a human being picking up the phone and calling and saying, tell me a little bit about what happened. So, number one, I mean, ultimately, you know, what we want to see happen, and we have this happen, actually, we love going into other restaurants, you know, in either our kind of, you know, segment or others, and it will always ask, right, you know, like, what did you do before this, or you know, and they learn that we're from Chili's or Brinker or Maggiano's, and they basically say, oh, my God, I used to work at Chili's, that, you know, back in college, or, oh, my God, I worked there for, like, 12 years, and they always have great things to say, and so, you know, that's important to us, that regardless of whether you still work here or not, you're able to look back and say, you know what, I really did enjoy working there. So that's a little bit about what we do.
What's your take on Glassdoor as a kind of an employment branding experience, et cetera? Like it's crept up and it's now part of our world more and more. What's your general take on it or things like it?
You know what? It's interesting you say that because this literally Glassdoor and really the idea that that people are talking about you, whether it's, you know, whether it's Glassdoor or just frankly, hey, I'm going to go blog about, you know, my company. We don't really have control of the message all the time. So I think that's just kind of a new era for us. But more recently, we started to talk about, okay, you know, let's look at Glassdoor. Like, what are people saying about us? And more importantly for us, it's establishing that, especially from a talent acquisition standpoint, that, you know, we want you to have the straight scoop. You know, we're not going to try to sell you something that isn't the real deal. And it is my kind of greatest satisfaction to pull people into a room in a focus group or something like that. You know, maybe 3 months after they've started, and ask them, you know, did we live up to what we said we were all about? You know, because we're the type of people, you know, the coworkers that I have, the team members that I get the pleasure of working with, we're the type of people that kind of come into work warts and all, and we're a little bit more kind of out in the open, we're a little bit more transparent and hopefully super authentic, and I think the culture works for that. It creates that type of environment. So we're kind of constantly watching and seeing what people are saying, and you gotta be willing to take the lumps too. So Glassdoor is kind of fascinating to us, but you hit on it. It's like, oh wow, we need to kind of see really where is this going? You know, and we'll do online audits and go kind of see what people say about us, of course. And you know what? I mean, more often than not, we're like, okay, we learned from that. So, again, kind of going back to that cultural belief, we got to be willing to take the feedback and do something about it. So it is something.
Sorry to interrupt. You serve so many customers in so many different ways. You know, you're going to have some good experiences, and you're going to have a lot of great experiences and good experiences, and occasionally you have some bad experiences. That's just life. I mean,
yep.
You know. Tell us about social. How do you interact with all of the, you know, the feedback mechanisms, probably not as much on LinkedIn, but Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and things like that?
Yeah.
How are you keeping track of that stuff and engaging in those dialogues, et cetera?
Well, you know, I'm kind of giggling internally because I'm super excited about what's coming for us in that space. And so, you know, number one, I will tell you, our public relations team, you know, that manages social media is, like, amazing. They have really built it. They have kind of shaped it. And there is so much exciting stuff that they're doing and so much coming. I love that team because they really their focus is so clear cut, and they frankly kind of you know, showed the way to where we want to go from a PeopleWorks perspective. So when we talk about social, you know, we're out there, but we believe it's been a learning experience for us. We're from a talent acquisition standpoint and an employment branding and an employment marketing standpoint. We've been watching that for a long time, and one of the joys of my job is I get to be the guy that walks in the room and says, we need to be doing this, and everybody goes, why? What is it going to get us? Like, is it going to drive sales? And I am so happy to kind of have a voice to say, look, this is the way that people consume this information, and this is the way that people learn about us. And, you know, let's put it out there. Let's put who we are out there and start to use this medium much more than we are currently. So I'm super excited about where it's going. I think that the fun thing about Chili's especially is and, you know, this is a company that doesn't take itself too seriously. So for the past probably, you know, 6 to 9 months, we've really been trying to get to a point where we can say, you know what, let's have some fun with this. Like, let's go out there and kind of show people really what it's like and maybe give them a peek behind the curtain. I think that's what's so fun about social media. It, you know, does it come with its set of risks? I mean, yeah, absolutely. We know that, you know, there's probably going to be people out there that don't like us so much and want to say so, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to make sure that we've done everything right on our part, and when we haven't, we got to say so, you know. But there's some really fun stuff coming, and we're excited to get a little bit more kind of established in that space.
Well, take a look as you're doing some of your research. Take a look at Bebe, the woman's clothing kind of line. They have a wonderful Instagram account where they do a bunch of merchandising, not only their stuff, but like other people's stuff. And, you know, Cartier does, you know, does this, and Tiffany does it. Like, if they mix and mingle their brand with a lot of other brands, just a wonderful Instagram account. But
I love it. You know, that's a great idea. I love social media that basically says, hey, you know, or anybody out there in social media that's kind of like, this is what we're thinking about today, you know, or kind
yeah,
of,
right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny to think, like, you know, what excites me about social media is that you really get to this idea of like character and personality and tone of voice, and you can really be yourself. And so I like the idea of brands almost kind of coming to the table saying like, look, this is who we are and this is what we're thinking about today. And this is, you know, hey, this happened to us today, rather than it seeming like it's maybe a little bit more manipulated or, you know, that it's for a specific purpose. I'm just a big believer that there are brands out there that do such an amazing job to even sometimes kind of call out the competition and say, hey, did you see what they did? You know, this is pretty cool. We like this.
Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
That's a confident group when you can actually say, you know what, I really like that. If you're
right
there, if you just so happen to be there, make sure you check that out. You know, I was in L.A. yesterday, and I met with a group that studies millennials. And we're having a fantastic, you know, kind of an afternoon, and they're telling me all kinds of things about millennials that I was completely clueless about. But one of the things that really struck me was millennials view the food experience different than other generations. And so, first of all, you know, this is just one group, and this is what they do for a living. But have you dug into that? Like, do you see that? Do you all see that on the front line? Do you see that millennials kind of, either through social and shooting photos of their food or whatever, do you see that in the restaurants that you represent?
Yeah, I mean, so, wow, that's really fascinating because we really have been talking about that. And while I'm not, you know, fully engaged and immersed in that side of our business, I mean, being in the audience hearing what's coming is so exciting because that has been top of mind. I mean, we are hearing this kind of idea of, you know, food trends kind of starting to evolve and change over time, and what does that look like? So, you know, there's been some conversation of this idea of old school versus new school. So what is new school food? Like, what does that mean? And it's exciting because I think it will almost kind of redefine the restaurant experience itself. I mean, we talk a lot about experiences and What do we want people to think and feel? So there's emotion that comes into play. And that's, I mean, I came from the retail world. And so getting into the restaurant business, you know, I didn't even know what I was missing, because getting into the restaurant business, I was like, oh, my God, like there's so much kind of emotion and passion that comes with food. You know, I mean, it's such an experience. I mean, there's, you know, people are enjoying themselves and talking, and there's this kind of these life moments happening in our restaurants constantly. So it's so interesting to see, like, where restaurants are probably going to go over the course of the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I think it'll be a completely different experience, and I think these new ideas are starting to come up about what people want. I love watching also even, I'm not a culinary expert by any stretch, but I love seeing, like, where there's like certain foodie trends starting to happen, where like certain ingredients take off, and it's like, wow, okay, why is that? There's such a science and such a psychology behind it. But yes, to answer your question, the long and short of it is, we absolutely are having that conversation, and how millennials are driving it. We talk a lot even about, the interesting thing is, you know, when we talk to folks at that age, they basically say, oh, yeah, I remember my parents bringing me there when I was a kid. And it's like, wow, like, I'm really old. You know, the times have changed. Like, when people start thinking of the brand as, you know, something different because it was an experience they had back in, quote, unquote, the past or in my younger days. So it's a really interesting topic.
Well, and Chris, kind of to continue down kind of that kind of jump from the kind of millennial generation conversation, what's your definition of culture? There's two-part question. So what's your kind of definition of culture? And also, what do you see people that really focus in on culture getting right and then the major fails?
So I'll give you my personal definition of culture. I will say that, you know, I think everybody has kind of their own take on this, and again, like, being able to do this for a living is kind of the ultimate reward for me, because I study that. I study culture. I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by this idea that all of these people from different backgrounds, from different walks of life, you know, different experiences that kind of shaped them and created them and make them who they are today, come into the workplace and start to interact, and good things happen and bad things happen. But when you're able to kind of define and say, this is what we stand for, and this is our values, and this is what we care about, and then you create an environment that's deliberately geared to that, I think that's a fascinating, fascinating subject. So we talk a lot about, like, our purpose for my team in particular is to engage the hearts and minds of our team members by purposefully creating experiences that produce desired beliefs. So what are those desired beliefs? So we talk a lot about, you know, we're all in this together. Like, we, you know, Three Musketeers, we live and die by the sword. I mean, we're in this together, or we're going to lose a part, you know. So there's so much emphasis on working cross-functionally and sharing things across boundaries, and how do we trust one another? How do we create an environment of trust? So, you know, and how do we win together? So I think what's interesting about culture, to define it for us, is that it's purposeful, is that it's not, you know, you hear people say, well, culture is a byproduct, or culture is just what happens after the fact. I believe that to a certain extent, but, you know, when you've got different cultures literally happening on different floors of a building, you know, within the same company, that's really where you have to look at, wow, what experiences are we creating for people that they feel differently than somebody, you know, literally like 8 feet above them on a different floor. Like, why is that? So I think what we talk a lot about is that our culture needs to kind of respect the past but look forward to the future and start to evolve the company in a way that kind of fits the times. And, you know, I think even something as what some would say is little as dress code plays a part, you know. So The cultures that I watch are the ones that I adore their brands, because to me, if you've got an amazing brand, that's telling me that your culture must be pretty amazing too. So we certainly, at least in our space, you know, benchmark against those great companies that are at the top of the list. I think the cultures that get it wrong, frankly, are when they try to overprocess it, when it's not real, when it's not, when there's no heart and soul put into it, and you're almost trying to, you know, force an experience to happen or force people to get it. So you kind of bonk them over the head and say, well, this is what we stand for, and you better stand for that too. I think culture is a byproduct of we create the environment and then watch what happens.
How would you parallel that to, like, and we'll actually use Chili's as an example, because, I mean, one, I'm a huge fan of your COO. She is absolutely one of my favorite executives in the space. So it's an easy one to point to this as a successful kind of culture. So how do you parallel kind of the culture for the entire company or organizationally to the restaurant experience or the culture of, like, a Chili's eating experience?
Yeah, so Kelly, I mean, you know, you just, people literally are like, I just want to be around her. She's amazing. And I've known her for a while now, and I've had the pleasure of kind of sitting in a room with her, just shooting the breeze and talking and kind of getting it really where she sees the brand going and what she wants to do and how she kind of can influence that process. So culturally, I think one of the most fascinating stories really is to see how, you know, her primary focus was to create this idea that the company can feel small again. And being somebody that was here and that kind of saw, you know, through different brands, so she wasn't always with Chili's, you know, but she was with some of our competitors, you know, so she knows the business so well. But what I love about her is she basically said, like, we've got to show them the way. Like, we've got to line everybody up and aim them in the right direction. And to do that, we're going to have to feel small again. We're going to have to feel intimate. We're going to have to be able to talk to one another. I mean, you know, as a company grows and expands, you know, so fast. I mean, you know, development for Brinker, you know, when I started, we had 5 brands, and it was just explosive growth. I think there's some statistic that said we were opening a restaurant a day. I mean, you know, it's like, golly, how do you do that and keep control of all of that? So, you know, so as the Brinker organization has become smaller in the sense that we clearly saw, like, it's time to really focus on the business model for these two brands and drive success with them and start to grow them again, but only after we get everybody on the same page and show them where we're going. So I think to correlate that, your question was, how do you now correlate that kind of culture to the restaurant experience for our guest? The coolest thing about our guests is that they choose us over other people because they basically say, I feel like I'm at home in this place. I feel like this is, you know, and I think any guest would say that, right? You know, you choose Target over Walmart or Walmart over Target because you feel at home there. You feel like that's kind of, they're a reflection of who you are. What we love about what our guests tell us is that they've had amazing experiences because people made them feel special. Because, you know, one of the coolest stories ever is Lauren, you know, a server who was serving a young lady in one of our restaurants that, you know, was there with her daughter, and her daughter was autistic, and you know, she brings the typical cheeseburger that she ordered, and for us, like, the spec is we cut the cheeseburger in half, and you know, this girl sat there and didn't eat, and Lauren picked up on it and was like, you know, honey, what's going on? She found out, you know, this girl is sitting there thinking that the cheeseburger is broken, you know, that somehow or another between the you know, the heart of the house and my table, this must have dropped or something, or it broke somehow. And, you know, Lauren, not because we told her to do it, not because she was trained to do it, but because she basically said, hey, this is the right thing to do. She grabbed it up. She ran back. She got her another one, brought it out, and said, you know, we figured out what was wrong, and we fixed it for you. And this girl just, you know, independently just kissed her cheeseburger, and her sister caught this amazing photo. It's moments like that that you can't really replicate. I mean, you can't tell somebody that that's what we're supposed to do. It's innate. And so you create an environment where people feel like that's the right thing to do, not because somebody told me to do it, but because it's that's the way we operate. That's who we are. It's kind of the soul of the company. So that's the neat part of seeing where culture works.
Right. Well, that is a great example. And Chris, thank you so much for coming on. We're out of time. Quick conversation. Thank you for, you know, spending lunch with us and kind of giving us a good look into, you know, all the success you guys had over there. And I'll keep, you know, even at Chili's, if that brand is a vegetarian, I will keep trying to make this work because I love you guys. So.
We love you, Brian. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, cool, man. Everybody, have a good rest of the day. We are out of here. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Bye.